Being in love is a good thing, but it is not the best thing. There are many things below it, but there are also things above it. You cannot make it the basis of a whole life. Love, as distinct from being in love, is not merely a feeling. It is a deep unity, maintained by the will and deliberately strengthened by habit, reinforced by the grace which both ask and receive from God. Being in love first moved them to promise fidelity. This quieter love enables them to keep the promise. Welcome to 10 Minute Mitzvah, episode 35, Matchmaking on Yom Kippur. I am Meir Soloveitchik.
Rabbi Soloveitchik's year-long 10-minute mitzvah podcast is generously sponsored by Ivan and Susanna Kaufman.
Let us ponder what may be one of the most striking statements in the Talmud. Lo hayu yamim tovim liYisrael ki yom haKippurim v'chamisha asar ba'av. There were no more joyous days for the people of Israel than Yom Kippur, the Day of Atonement, and the 15th day of the month of Av. Shebehen benot Yisrael yotzot v'cholot bakramim. For on those days, the daughters of Israel would go out and dance in the vineyard. And then the Talmud adds, Kol mi she'en lo isha nifne l'sham. All those that did not have a wife would go there. In other words, there, shiduchim, matchmaking, would take place. That Jewish men and women would find spouses on the 15th of Av makes sense. For according to tradition, it was on that day during the period of the judges that a civil war amongst the tribes of Israel came to a close, and the families of Israel were willing to marry one another. It is, in other words, a day to mark Israelite unity and weddings. But Yom Kippur, on a day when we focus on fixing our flaws, repenting our sins, on this day, Jews engage in matchmaking? There are indeed commentators that admit that they find this profoundly puzzling. One commentator on the Mishnah insists that the rabbis cannot mean what they seem to mean. Or as he puts it, V'chi salka daitach, ti Yisrael kedoshim b'yom ha-kippurim yasku b'shiduchim? Can one really think that the holy people of Israel on this day of days would actually engage in matchmaking and shiduchim? And yet, that is precisely what the text seems to say. We consider why Yom Kippur may actually be a day to find what is called in common Yiddish parlance one's bashert, one's divinely destined spouse, as we consider one of our mitzvot for the day, listed by Maimonides in his counting of the commandments. And that is the ritual of kiddushin, literally sanctification, the obligation to sanctify the relationship between husband and wife, a ritual that today takes the form, usually, of the giving of a ring from groom to bride, along with the words, Behold, you are sanctified unto me with this ring, according to the laws of Moses and Israel. The very appellation applied to the ritual, kiddushin, highlights how, for Judaism, marriage is a sacred endeavor. And if this is the case, it is, at least in part, because the relationship that is marriage is also a symbol of the relationship of love between God and his covenant people. Indeed, this may be the deeper meaning of the blessing recited prior to the giving of a ring at Jewish weddings. Baruch atah Hashem mekadesh amo Yisrael al yidei chupa v'kiddushin, which literally means, Blessed are you, God, who sanctifies his people Israel through the mitzvot, through the rituals of chupa and kiddushin, sanctification of a marriage. It is Rabbi Shlomo Edels, a Talmudic commentator who lived some centuries ago, who brilliantly suggests that there is a deeper meaning to this blessing, which is that God himself was mekadesh amo Yisrael, sanctified his people Israel, meaning he married his people Israel, al yidei chupa v'kiddushin, through the rituals of chupa and kiddushin, with the chupa, the wedding canopy, being the tabernacle, and the original sanctification of the relationship coming through the giving of the Torah. First and foremost, the giving of the luchot, the two tablets of the Ten Commandments. And if this is the case, it bears noting that in a real sense, the wedding between God and Israel only truly took place after the shattering of the first tablets, after the sin of the golden calf, after God's forgiveness of Israel's sin, and only at the moment when Moses descended from Sinai with the second set of tablets that were given as a sign of God's forgiveness and the restoration of the relationship between God and his people. Indeed, Rabbi Joseph Soloveitchik suggested that one of the most famous traditions at a Jewish wedding, the breaking of the glass, is meant to remind us not only of the fragility of Jewish life, not only of the destruction of the temple, but also of the shattering of the first set of tablets. In fact, it is quite clear that originally, at a Jewish wedding, the glass was not stepped on, but rather thrown. Thus, Benjamin Rush, signer of the Declaration of Independence, and one of the most famous physicians in Philadelphia, a man I mentioned yesterday, described in a letter to his wife of attending the Jewish wedding of the daughter of an acquaintance of his. And he writes about the glass, quote, "The groom, after sipping the wine, took the glass in his hand and threw it upon a large pewter dish, which was suddenly placed at his feet." And the point, perhaps, is that in remembering the breaking of the first set of tablets, we also remember the restoration of the second, which embodied the marriage, the kiddushin, the sanctification of the relationship between God and Israel. Now here, ladies and gentlemen, is what is most interesting of all. The first set of tablets, as both Rabbi Soloveitchik and Rabbi Sacks have separately noted, were given entirely by the Almighty. But the second set, the set of tablets that lasted, the tablets that brought about the true sanctification of the marriage between God and Israel, those tablets were created through the carvings of Moses, the extraordinary effort of an octogenarian, with the words then being written upon those tablets by God. And those tablets were ultimately brought down to the people on Yom Kippur. Yom Kippur, in other words, is the true wedding anniversary of God and Israel. And a recollection of the second tablets of Yom Kippur at a wedding remind us of the ultimate lesson of the tablets of Yom Kippur. That, as Rabbi Soloveitchik commented, it is the effort expended in a relationship that makes it enduring. C.S. Lewis put it strikingly, distinguishing between being in love and love, with the latter capturing the growth of a relationship over time. He wrote, quote, "Being in love is a good thing, but it is not the best thing. There are many things below it, but there are also things above it. You cannot make it the basis of a whole life. Love, as distinct from being in love, is not merely a feeling. It is a deep unity, maintained by the will and deliberately strengthened by habit, reinforced by the grace which both ask and receive from God. Being in love first moved them to promise fidelity. This quieter love enables them to keep the promise. It is on this love that the engine of marriage is run. Being in love was the explosion that started it." End quote. A life of marriage, in other words, is akin to the tablets that were given on Yom Kippur, created through effort, with the effort, as Rabbi Soloveitchik and Rabbi Sacks both note, being central to its sanctity. That is why Yom Kippur is the anniversary of the Kiddushin between God and Israel, of which every sanctification at a wedding is a commemoration. And that is why Yom Kippur provides us with perspective about the essence of every Jewish wedding. Finding one's spouse on Yom Kippur, never a better time. For it is on Yom Kippur that we wish ourselves, as God's chosen people, a happy anniversary. This is Meir Soloveitchik, looking forward to learning together tomorrow. Signing off.